Welcome, everybody, to Inside Boxing on the Grueling Truth Sports Network. I'm your host, Mike Goodpaster. My co-host, John Raspani, could not make it today, which blows me away, John, because we have the biggest fight since Mayweather-Pacquiao. We've got two undefeated welterweight champions trying to settle who is the undisputed welterweight champion of the world. This is truly a super fight. Maybe not if you're older, if you're over 40. Maybe not what we remember from Leonard Hearns, Leonard Duran, De La Hoya, Trinidad. But this is a super fight. These are the two best men, both undefeated, hopefully in their primes. They've waited 5 years longer than what they should have to be able to have this fight. But tomorrow night, Saturday night, we are going to see, hopefully, a great boxing match. And today, we're going to break down Spence and Crawford. We're going to give you our best bet for picking this fight. Make sure you head over to BetMGM to bet on the fight. BetMGM is the best place for betting on boxing. Also, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Grueling Truth. Make sure you like, subscribe, all that good stuff at YouTube. But let's go ahead and let's get started with our Spence Crawford preview. And we're going to start off with Errol Spence, keys to victory. Now, I believe he has to touch Crawford early on, especially with the jab. And the big thing here is Crawford has a tendency to kind of feel his opponents out for a couple rounds. I don't think he can afford that here because if he falls a couple points behind with somebody as good as Spence, it may be able to get it back. But Spence does an excellent job flicking the jab with his right hand and just touching a fighter early and often in a fight. Now, the shot, whether it's an up jab or a straightforward jab, lands with blunt force, and its crispness is what opens up the lane to follow through with the body work that Spence is known for. If Spence is going to walk Crawford down and make Bud look like the smaller man, he's going to need to assert his jab earlier in this bout. He has to, because Spence is the bigger guy. You got to remember Crawford's coming up from 135. I know he's been at 147 for a while, and he's pretty much knocked everybody out there, but he hasn't fought a puncher like Spence. So I think that it is imperative right here that he touches him with the jab early. Now, more keys to victory. I think that he has to unload to the body to hopefully break Bud down. Because I think in the late rounds, I would probably favor Crawford. And Spence asserting the jab successfully will give him the green light to pound away at Crawford with body work, especially that left hook to the body. Now, when you look at that, those deposits to the body could take away from Crawford's explosive athleticism late in fights and be enough to take the undefeated champion into deep waters. So we look on top of that, keep volume punching high for Spence's keys to victory. If this fight is going to live up to its building for being unprecedented and nothing short of spectacular, it could present the scenario of both men being ushered into uncharted territory. If that's indeed the case, and Spence and Crawford push each other to the limit, then it's imperative that Spence keeps his punch volume high. The visual of walking Crawford down for a majority of rounds and recording more consistent punches could spell the difference in Spence getting his hand raised on points and leaving Las Vegas as the undisputed welterweight world champion. So when you look at it, I think he has to attack Crawford. I mean, he can't just be hunted. Crawford is great at hunting guys down, breaking them down. Spence cannot allow that to happen in this fight. Now, but Crawford's keys to victory. We talked about how he gets off to close start or slow starts. I know it's hard to nitpick a fighter as dynamic and good and versatile as Terrence Crawford, the current WBO welterweight world title holder. He's 39-0 with 30 knockouts. And he goes into this weekend's fight. I mean, both of these guys, and this is what makes this fight so great. Neither one of these guys, you could really see losing a fight. But chances are, one of them is going to lose. I mean, you get the occasional draw with a stupid decision. But, you know, to many boxing critics, on the pound-for-pound list, Terrence Crawford's at the top of it. However, if there's one aspect about fighting Errol Spence that Crawford might want to be assertive about, it has to be he has to start quicker than normal. Now, sometimes Crawford is computing and downloading information in real time, showing that early patience that has led to going undefeated. He has a pristine record. But however, in doing that against a caliber of fighter like Spence, he runs the risk of finding himself down a few rounds early on. And against a guy as good as Spence, that could be the death nail for Crawford's undefeated record. Now, Crawford's known for switching stances often. I think he's going to have to do that against Spence to kind of keep Spence off balance. You know, Crawford tends to mirror the stance of his opponent to start fights off before switching his stance over the course of the bouts. Although Spence figures to be front and center with Crawford in the pocket, Crawford's ability to switch stances at an opportune time should at least make Spence think, and at the most, throw his unified welterweight world champ's rhythm off a bit. Now, either prospect would bode well for Crawford, and the chances to record his signature victory would go up big time, I think. Now, he has to defend the body to ensure that he is good even later in the round or later in the fight. If you watch Spence carefully, he'll pepper an opponent with a right jab before almost instantly and instinctively falling through with a left hook to the body that he absolutely sits on. Is there to cause pain. Now, those body shots over the course of a 12-round bout can take their toll on a fighter and go a long ways toward breaking down that fighter and eroding their ability to box and fight against Spence. Crawford timing those body shots from the southpaw and dropping his elbow down to bear the brunt of that work would help the WBO title holder to absorb less damage and beat a fresher man later in the fight. Now, by protecting his own body, Crawford will also be free to be his dynamic self. And that means placing shots with sensational movement and accuracy and delivering them with that whiplashing effect that has empowered him to knock out all seven opponents he has faced at 147 pounds thus far. So there are our keys to the fight. Now we're going to go a little bit deeper. We're going to go head-to-head. We're going to look at who has the advantage in boxing ability, punching power, defensive ability. We'll give you our X factors, and then I'll give you my prediction for this fight. Now, head-to-head advantages, we're going to look at boxing ability first. If both of these guys, make no mistake, are tremendous boxers, and they both have tremendous boxing ability. But Spence isn't a pressure fighter in the mold of Arturo Gatti or Joe Frazier, but he does employ a subtle form of aggression behind a strong southpaw jab and solid footwork. The jabs frequently set up left-hand shots to the head and body, and he's far more adept than your typical boxer type at working inside. The blend of aggressiveness, body punching, and power yields a hybrid style that makes it really difficult for opponents to prepare for. His mastery of fundamental footwork also allows him to establish distance that methodically overwhelms less aggressive foes or confuses those whose own path to victory is pressure in and of itself. Now, Crawford, in many ways, isn't too dissimilar from Spence, which is why this is a fascinating matchup for many reasons beyond just the high-end rankings and the title claims. The Nebraskan is a southpaw by trade, but shifts stances more nimbly than any other active welterweight. He's also a master of range, which means he didn't fiddle around the ring or mindlessly plow forward. Instead, he's effective at being both close enough to land shots and to draw opponents into overcommitting and then strafing them with his own offense. Now, he'll not overwhelm people with his punch rate, but he's also consistently active and tends to throw in bursts with decisive openings present themselves. Now, when we look at the advantage here, I think it's even. And when we go through these, you'll see why this fight is a fight that everybody wants to see. I mean, when we move on here, we're going to go to punching power. Now, though they both combine a KO better than 77% of their opponents, it's unlikely that either Spence or Crawford would make a top 10 list of the sport's biggest power hitters. That's because many of those finishes have come after several rounds of sustained pressure and activity rather than from single highlight reel shots. Four of Spence's six KOs in 12-round fights came in round six or beyond, while Crawford has gone into the sixth round or beyond and 11 of 14 of his inside-the-distance wins in 12-round fights. Now, ironically, Sean Porter, who went the distance with Spence at 19 and was stopped by Crawford in 21, rates the former's power as a superior because of his single-shot damage. So when you get a guy like Sean Porter, he thinks that the power advantage goes to Spence, But what he said is what makes Crawford so good, what knocked him out, is how fast Crawford's power is. So it's a different kind of power. So when we look at this, once again, I think we're even, guys. And that's why this fight is so even. I mean, and most of these, it's even. So when we look at this and we move on and we take a look at defensive ability, I don't think Spencer or Crawford practices defense on the level of Willie Pep, Pernell Whitaker, Floyd Mayweather, you know, Nikolai Lovchi. But it's no coincidence that both fighters were unbeaten. And neither one of them have been remotely in danger, hardly at all, during their undefeated streaks. I mean, Spencer's got the high guard defense, the counter punching, and those are probably the most celebrated parts of his game. But he does avoid damage and return fire thanks to clever footwork and or head movement. He also limits the punishment sustained on the inside, frequently catching and countering incoming blows. Now, Crawford, too, is a sublime master of footwork. Whether when moving in straight lines, pivoting to either side, or moving laterally to get around his opponent, hitting him with single shots is possible, but it's not often he's on the receiving end of prolonged volleys. And he's adapted using counter hooks from the southpaw stance with his lead hand, which is especially troubling to right-handed fighters attempting to land jabs. Now, I think this is almost even, but I am going to give a slight advantage here to Terrence Crawford, just because of his ability to switch and fight right-handed or left-handed. I think that could cause Spence a little bit more consternation in this fight. Now, if we look at the X factors, X factors can be good or bad. Errol Spence's X factor, will his recent inactivity matter? I mean, presuming the fight actually comes off, which it looks like it is because it's just 24 hours away, Spence will have fought three times in the preceding 4 years, including none in the last 15 months, thanks to a myriad of injuries, as well as the aforementioned starts and stops associated with the Crawford showdown. He's 33 years old. He's had an eye injury. He depends on his reflexes. He's been in a serious car wreck. To be fair, sitting on the sidelines for 15 months wasn't an issue prior to an easy defeat of Danny Garcia in December 2020. And spending 16 more months away didn't cause decisive problems before a 10th round stoppage of Ugas in April of last year. But Crawford isn't Garcia or Ugas. He's likely to ask far more of Spence than either one of those opponents did. And whether the Texan still has the answers on the highest level, that's probably the biggest mystery of this fight to me. Now, Crawford's X factor. Can he be a successful smaller man? Crawford has been an elite commodity in several weight classes. He won titles at 135 and 140 before graduating to welterweight with the defeat of Jeff Horn, who'd beaten Manny Pacquiao on a, let's just say, controversial decision less than a year earlier in 18. Crawford's only 5'8", 74-inch reach. He's hardly a small fry at 147, but he's not a big dude either. Spence is taller. He's naturally larger. He has competed at 152 pounds in the 2012 Olympics, and Porter said his shingle shot power is more damaging than Crawford's. Crawford hasn't fought anyone who blends size and skill like Spence, and it will be telling to see how he handles blows from a guy who's been rumored to rehydrate to 160 or even beyond by the time the opening bell sounds. So I think all of these X factors are huge when you look at betting this fight. So I had to make a pick. And this is the thing you'll notice about boxing people, especially the guys that are supposed to know something. A lot of them aren't really wanting to make a pick on this fight, because this is a fight that is so 50-50 that, I mean, there's a 50-50 shot that you're going to be wrong. And when you look at it, Crawford is the favorite at -140 at BetMGM. You risk 140 to win 100. Spence comes in at +120. So these odds are about as tight as you can get. And when you look at that, there's a reason for it. It's what we just talked about. I mean, this is, to me, this is a bigger fight than what Pacquiao Mayweather was. I know on scope, Pacquiao Mayweather historically was bigger, because Pacquiao and Mayweather were big. Even people outside of boxing knew who they were. With Spence and Crawford, this is mainly a fight for boxing fans. I mean, I know I've brought up to a couple people just for the hell of it, you know, you get to watch the fight. And they're like, I've never heard of either one of those guys. But in boxing circles, these guys are extremely well-known. I know we just watched a Monster Inoue have a huge performance, and everybody's talking about, well, he's going to be the number one guy or should be the number one pound-for-pound guy. I think this, as long as this is a good fight and one of these guys has a great performance, I think the winner of this fight has to be number one. In a way, beat a very good Stephen Fulton, but it's not the same as Crawford beating Spence or Spence beating Crawford. So, how do we bet this fight? How it plays out. To me, I think this is a fight that goes one of two ways. It's either a tactical battle that people will say is boring, and then, you know, you'll have people out there saying all the fight was fixed. Or you'll have a fight where these two guys go at it and they engage. Now, I don't notice in either one's demeanor to just go out and get after it, but neither one has ever been in a fight this big. You know, I don't know if there's any fighters alive right now, or not alive, but are active right now that have been in a fight this big. That could affect you. You look back at Hagler, Duran. Duran stayed in a fight with Hagler. Hagler was a little overwhelmed by the moment until he pulled away late to win the fight. I mean, to me, this is not Leonard Hearns. That was two undefeated guys, but Leonard Hearns was something the local news, the evening news, everybody knew about that fight. This fight, to me, if I had to call it or compare it to another fight, it would be Donald Curry and Milton McCroy. Those were two undefeated champions. They were younger guys, and that was basically a huge fight for mainstream boxing fans. I think that's what we have here. Unfortunately, the way boxing has went, it may be damn near impossible to have a fight at welterweight by anybody on the scope of Leonard Hearns or Duran and Leonard. I think those days may be gone just because you're not getting all these fights. Remember, all those guys I just mentioned had a ton of fights on live network TV. These guys, you got to pay to see them. And that sucks for boxing. But I think that Crawford's knockout streak is spectacular. So you got to give him credit for that. But I think this is maybe where that streak dies. I think both guys are vicious fighters. But what I'm looking for here is this. I'm looking for value to bet this fight. So because of that, I think this fight will be a war. I think this is a fight where Crawford will start out slow as normal. Spence will win the first two or three rounds. And then I think Crawford will get stronger as this goes. I think the X factor for me of Errol Spence and the issues he's had in the last 5 years really may lead me to think that maybe Terrence Crawford is a more dedicated fighter, takes this more seriously. I mean, you don't hear about him out getting drunk and, you know, hanging out at strip clubs. Spence, a little bit different case there. So I am going to take this. My actual prediction, I think Crawford will stop Spence somewhere between the 10th and the 12th round. And if you bet that, you get better than 2-1 odds. The other good bet, I think, here is Crawford by decision of plus 175. Because I think it's possible it goes to the decision. But I like Crawford late, either to pull away late or to stop Spence late. I think Terrence Bud Crawford is the better fighter. All right, guys, I want to remind you, follow me on Twitter, at Grueling Truth. Go like, subscribe to our Facebook page. You can hear all of our shows on Spotify, iHeartRadio, over 300 different outlets. And make sure you like, subscribe on YouTube. Check out BetMGM, the link in the description below in the YouTube video. But for now, I'm Mike Goodpaster. You've been watching and listening to The Grueling Truth, where the legends speak.